Welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. This podcast is for self-employed business owners just like you, who really want to grow their business and become successful and profitable, but without all the stress and hassle. I want to share my 30 years of business experience to show you how simple it can be to earn more money and how you can get organized without needing a business degree or any other qualifications. I'll be talking about the easy steps that you can put in place right now to start earning more money today and to help you get the business that you deserve and dream of. Without further ado, let's get started. This week's podcast is sponsored by Pocket PA, helping self-employed business owners to get organized, understand their finances, and do their accounts all in one place using a powerful online tool. If you're serious about making a profit and having a successful business, then using a simple digital web app like Pocket PA is the best way to grow and scale your business. Visit pocketpa.com for more details and start managing your money like a pro today. Welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast today. And we're going to be talking today about wearing two hats if you're self-employed. And I have the wonderful Sue Wybrow. She's a very talented lady and she set up an incredibly vibrant and thriving local community in St. Albans for other self-employed business owners. But in addition to that, and initially, Sue has a business called Pop Dance. And it's with great excitement that I'm going to introduce you to her today. So Sue, hi, hello, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, Caroline. Thank you for having me. It's nice to see you and have a chat.
Yes. So, Sue, you have been self-employed for a little while. Would you like to just tell our listeners about your journey into self-employment and shine a spotlight on what you have done in your sector?
Okay. Well, I think it's quite a common thing, really. It's, you know, you get to a point in your career, don't you? And then you might then get married, might have kids, and then things change a bit. You know, you find yourself rushing around. So, I've worked in all sorts of industries. So starting off in banking when I was 16, so I left school straight away. I couldn't wait to start work. I didn't want to go to uni. I was just like, I need to go and do some work. That was what floated my boat. So I worked for Midland Bank in London, in Baker Street, for a couple of years, which was great fun, lots of people my age. Then went to work in market research, which I think sort of started my whole marketing business journey. Worked for Warner Brothers, worked for clients like Estee Lauder, and then I got into marketing. So I worked for a marketing agency in North London for a good few years, I think about 12 years. Met my husband there, got married, had a couple of kids, was still working, and then you find that you're spending most of your wages on childcare. And then you're like, actually, I want to be the one to pick my kids up from school. I don't want to have a nanny, or, you know, I want to be there for my kids. So it was difficult juggling it, especially when I had my second one. And then I started Pop Dance just by accident, really. I was, you know, doing very well in my marketing role. But I wanted to go to fun dance classes, learn some cheesy dance routines to pop music like Kylie, Wham, Michael Jackson, steps. There was nothing out there at that time that suited what I wanted. It was either sort of ballet, tap, full of, you know, 16-year-olds, 18-year-olds. I was 38 at the time. I felt sort of frumpy. I couldn't dance. I was rubbish at dancing. So I chatted to some dance teachers about what I wanted, and we created Pop Dance. And obviously I had the marketing skills. My husband's a graphic designer. So we just launched it as a hobby, really.
All the best self-employed businesses often start off. It's one of those hobbies, like, can we make it into a business and what would be involved to do that? And I love it that you've done it because of you wanting to spend more time with your family. That's such a common thread for people sort of midway through their sort of journey to decide to move away from employment.
It was never meant to be a business. So I didn't start it thinking, like, this could be a business. I just started it selfishly for my own good. It's what I wanted to do, and there were lots of people that felt the same. And then the class was really popular, and then we had teachers coming to us saying, well, actually, I'd like to run a class like this in Blackpool, in Manchester. So we then started to work with other teachers, and I was still working with two young kids and trying to run this as a sort of mini business hobby. And then at one stage, it was just too much, really. I was getting more emails for Pop Dance than I was for my own work, and I didn't feel it was fair on my employer. And we were in Cornwall at the time, and I was like, this is all too much. I'm racing from work to pick up the kids to then work late at night. And it was my husband that said, you know, we'll just go for it, you know, resign and go for it. So I blame him.
And were you producing an income at this point with Pop Dance? You were sort of managing to get a revenue stream, or were you still sort of just breaking even? There were still more costs going out than you had coming in at that point.
It was a difficult one because we were managing everything ourselves. So we were paying the teacher, we were paying for the venue hire, we were doing the marketing, we were taking all the bookings online. We were taking all the bookings. So it was difficult because you don't know what the venue's like in Manchester. You that teacher really needs to build that relationship with the people that are coming to their classes. So we did change the model down the line, which is a bit more what it's like today, whereas a teacher will pay us a license fee and they keep all of the money, which makes it far easier to manage for both parties. So at that point, yeah, I think we were just sort of breaking even. We might have made a little bit of money, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like this is going to make us rich, but it was
not enough to retire on.
No. So it was, you know, actually this model needs to change if it's going to work. And so we were just basically just dosed straight in with two feet and just thought, hope for the best, you know.
So you hadn't sort of woken up one morning and thought, gosh, I want to be self-employed. I'm going to start a business. What shall I do? It literally fell into it, similarly to how I fell into Pocket PA. It was a need, something that I wanted to make for myself. And then it started to become into this sort of, you know, a snowflake into a snowball and then sort of moving into that direction. So
absolutely.
Did you have any sort of preconceptions about what self-employed life would be like, or any sort of fears around it, or you were just too busy doing it and in the business to be able to sort of have any sort of setbacks or stopping to be fearful?
Well, I think, no, I wasn't fearful. I was just like, let's just get stuck in. That's what I do. I'm not really a planner. I'm not a strategist. I just go, right, okay, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's see if it works. If it doesn't work, let's change it. So, which is probably not the greatest thing to be, but I'm quite lucky that I haven't had that fear factor, that I will just do it and then go, oh, that didn't work. Well, let's try something else. I think at the time it was because I'd sort of been working both jobs anyway, I'd been used to doing that work. Obviously losing half your household income is a bit of a shock. But then obviously you don't have the childcare fees, etc. So it sort of, and you're there with your kids, and that's the biggest thing I can say to anyone. You know, my mum said to me, you'll never get this time back with the kids, and that made me really think about it. I do see so many people working so hard and feeling guilty about spending time with their kids, and that's the most important thing. You know, money, you know, isn't the be all and end all. I don't define success as being rich. I don't desire a Ferrari. You know, I just want to have that, sounds cheesy, have that quality time with the family and make sure that you're okay. There was a thing called Business Link at the time that gave free advice, a bit like Stanta these days and Wenta. So I did take up some of their free workshops and their business advice. But I didn't really, I'd never run a business before. So it was, you know, it was learning as you go.
Yeah. And do you think, because you'd had some marketing background as well, do you feel that you drew on that a lot? Do you think you might not have been so successful if you hadn't had that sort of grounding and those building blocks at the beginning? Because you had been working in that area in your sort of in your job previously when you were employed. How imperative was it that you brought those skill sets to your Pop Dance business?
Yeah, I mean, I think that helped massively. And also that I had a graphic designer husband. So,
okay.
And I knew all about
secret weapon.
Yeah. I knew how important getting the brand right was, the sticking with the consistent colors, the consistent fonts, how you market. But, you know, there are other skills that other people have. And I see this with our dance teachers all the time. They are amazing dance teachers, but need that help with marketing. So, you know, one of the biggest things I've learned is that you're not good at everything, and there are people around you that are good at things that you
100%
can help you.
Yes.
And I think as solopreneurs, or whatever you want to call us, you just think you've got to do everything yourself, and finances bind you to that a lot of the time. But this is all about less stress, you know. You can get really stressed if you are trying to do everything yourself, because you can do that for a certain amount of time, but then you're just going to get burnout and you're going
to. It's going to lead to burnout, isn't it? And I think that's that double-edged sword where we're really enthusiastic and we want our businesses to succeed. We're self-motivated, we're driven, but in that enthusiasm, we can get caught up, and sometimes it can sort of be our own worst enemy and we don't know how to switch off. Did you find that you were sort of bringing your work home with you, especially if you were leaning on your husband for sort of graphic design and help and that sort of thing? How were you able to sort of differentiate and get that work-life balance where you were able to sort of say, right, Pop Dance is finished, closed for the day, I'm now at home? And that's a tricky balance, isn't it? What did you do, Sue?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very lucky. I do have an office. Keep pointing over there because my office is over there. So I do have a separate room in the house with a door. And when I shut that door, that is it. You know, I'm not working anymore. When you run your own business, you're always working. You're always thinking. When I'm walking the dog, I'm always thinking about ideas, you know.
You do your stories then. I love your stories. You sort of do your sharing moments. So there's like more promotion, et cetera, even when you're walking the dog. Yeah.
Yeah. You just, you know, you are.
That's very commonplace.
Yeah. You just take things when you can. When you get some inspiration or some ideas, then you can, you know, implement it straight away. But I think in terms of switching off, yeah, weekends are for me. Yeah, I'll check my emails. I rarely do social media at the weekend, and I probably should. But I'm like, actually, I do need some switch off time. So I tend to sort of finish work at a decent hour, you know, 6 o'clock. I might check in and have a look at socials. But I tend to keep the evenings and the weekends, you know, family time or time for me. And it's really important, you know, especially there's so much pressure on businesses these days. You know, we're told we need to be on every social media platform. You know, the marketing of our business is huge, and that's without actually.
It's never ending, isn't it? There's always something else that we could be doing. You mentioned at the beginning a little bit about you didn't have a plan, you sort of fell into it by accident. At what point did you start to begin to think, gosh, I'm going to start setting some goals, I'm going to look at a strategy, actually this is something that could be you know, a really good self-employed business? At what point did you sort of check yourself and think, gosh, I need to be a little bit more structured about this and start to set time aside to work on the business in that way?
Yeah, I think working with people around you. So I early on in Pop Dance, I took on a friend of mine actually, who does all the financial side and a lot of the stuff that I hate to do. So it was good to then, you've then got to explain to somebody else what it is you're trying to achieve. I always knew what I wanted to achieve.
You had the vision.
And that, yeah, I have the vision. I still haven't achieved it totally yet, but we're getting there, and things have evolved so much, and then starting another business has been a bit of a distraction but a help. I think if you're working with somebody else, you know, you've got to be clear on what it is that you're all about, what your ethos is, what your values are, the service that you provide, the benefits that gives to your customers. And by working with other people, it's good to have that written down and people understand. So in terms of strategy, you know, evolved into working with other business owners and then joining different kinds of communities in terms of, you know, I'm on a board with some other people, and it's interesting seeing how other people are managing their business, and you can discuss problems and questions, a bit like our online jellies and our co-working. Mm-hmm.
And that, those are in the business community that you've built up in St. Yeah. Albans. And I'd love to interview you on a separate episode about that specifically, because I think there's a huge amount for people to learn about having the access to a local business community. But regarding your sort of your growth, would you say that you were a few months in or even years in before you started to formally put down some goals and do goal setting and strategy and that sort of thing?
I think pretty much straight away. So I think once I knew it was going to be a business, it was like, right, okay, how is this going to work? What kind of numbers are we wanting to look at? And then, you know, I've always gone OTT. I'm always like, right, go for the massive, you know, the massive goal that you want.
Reach for the moon. And then, yeah.
Yeah, reach for the moon.
And you might just hit the stars if you don't quite get to the moon. Yeah, I've heard that
saying. Absolutely. So always go, I've always gone bigger with it in mind that, you know, it's small steps. So when, you know, when we say, oh, we want to lose weight, want to lose a stone and a half, it's really, I want to lose a pound. Then I want to lose another pound.
Yes, you know, breaking it down into those small steps, but having a sort of an end sight in mind. But I think it can become overwhelming, especially when you work by yourself for yourself. And, you know, it can be lonely. It's a difficult thing. And so you have to be quite self-disciplined to sort of break these things down and think, what am I working on today or this week to take me one step closer to where I want to reach? You know, what is my year goal? Or you break it down into quarters. That's always quite a good way to do it, because it then seems much more manageable into those bite-sized pieces, because I think we can scare ourselves.
Yeah.
And then we just run in the other direction, or we bury our head in the sand and we just don't address any of it. And we just get too busy, caught up in life, just doing the day-to-day stuff, just being busy in our business. And it does require us to step back, I think, and to get that perspective. And that's a really important step. But you've done that by sort of tapping into other people to do that. And is your husband, is he self-employed also?
No, so he works in the marketing company that we both used to work for, but he can also freelance as well. So he does a bit of freelance work. So, yeah, and he does a couple of days from home, a couple of days in the office now. So that works really well for the work-life balance. But, yeah.
Yeah. And what are the real big pluses that you feel you've gained and achieved by becoming self-employed and taking this trajectory? Could you ever go back to being employed again, or is that just a total no-no?
No, I don't think I can. I did do a little bit of help for Rothamsted. For 12 weeks or something, where I went into their office and helped them out with their marketing. And it was great. They're a lovely, lovely company. But I'm like, actually, it's really tough once you've been working for yourself. And also, you want to be working on your own business. You know, you want to be working for you.
That's the thing, isn't it? You feel like you're not cheating, but you're just doing something behind their back, because you're actually generating ideas and how that could be implemented in your own business. And it sort of feels like, oh my goodness, I'm grabbing all these ideas and I'm using their time where they're paying me for sort of generating more good ideas for my business. Yeah, I've had a few episodes like that during sort of my self-employed time. But it is good, because I think it refeeds your sort of ambition for your own project when you tap back into the employed workforce and how they operate. And it reminds you of that freedom-based business that you have working for yourself, that you're not clocking in on your hours. You know, you tend to get up early, often through your own sort of time clock, but you know you don't have to get up at a certain time. You don't have to finish at a certain time. If you want to flex your days and, as I say, rearrange it around school trips for your kids or holidays, those sorts of things, those freedom-based aspects of being self-employed, they're pretty difficult to beat, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, especially, you know, with the kids growing up, they haven't missed out on anything. You know, when it snowed, you could take them sledging. When it was summer, you could take them to the pool.
And nor have you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You've been there for those memorable times and those moments. And that's what I feel is so sad when you do have a young family, or, you know, any age group, that they're growing up, and those milestones, you just don't have a second chance on them. And to be self-employed and to be able to get that balance right, to be able to participate and be there for those moments. I think, you know, that's a really big plus side and upside of self-employed life. And do you see you encouraging your own kids to sort of take that trajectory? Do you think that that's something that they've picked up from you, that would sort of be repeated?
I mean, we've always involved the kids in the business ever since they were young. I mean, they're 19 and going to be 17 now. So the eldest is off to uni next year, and then the youngest is off to uni. He's off to uni this year. The next one's off to uni next year. So within a year, we will be empty nesters for a while. You know, we've always involved them. So even when they were little, you know, when we launched Pop Dance Kids, we launched a whole series of little characters, which they created, they named, they helped. You know, they were very young at the time, but they were the right audience. So we created these Pop Dance characters, and then
homegrown market research.
As they've grown up,
I love that.
We've always talked about business around them. You know, I've always asked them their opinion as well. You know, what do you think about this?
Mm.
So they've always they've always, and then my eldest has actually been helping with the social media and stuff, so they've always been involved. I think they will go down probably the employed route initially, and then who knows whether they might do their own, run their own business. You know, it is tough running your own business, but then I think actually I remember when I was working in marketing, it was stressful. You have stressful times and you have worries and you think, oh, actually, if you're struggling as a self-employed person, you think, oh, I'll go back to working for somebody, but you forget those stresses as well. But with the stresses in your own business is that you're doing it for yourself and your family. And everyone's going to have ups and downs, up and down days.
Of course, yes. Whether you're employed or self-employed, I think the difference when you're employed, you're building somebody else's business and somebody else's dream. But you have that certainty and security of a wage or, you know, a paycheck at the end of the month. Whereas when you're self-employed, that surety and guarantee isn't always there. But there is no glass ceiling, and, you know, it is as great as your creative endeavors and as great as your sort of management and grasp of finances and marketing and being all things to all people. You know, you're your customer service, your own PR marketing machine, your finance director, the Girl Friday, the cleaner, you are everything, all things to all people, but it's just to yourself, isn't it? And, you know, there are always sort of highs and lows, but as you say, that happens whether you're employed or self-employed. So
one thing I would say is, like, you know, a lot of people are listening to their inner demon saying, you know, you someone else is better at this than you, blah blah blah,
comparisonitis. Yeah,
one of the things I would say is think about what you would say to your child or what you would say to your friend you'd say, you know, you can do this, you know, no qualms. You'd go, Caroline, you've got this in the bag, you can do it. And if you talk to yourself like that, then you can achieve so much more.
Yes, it is about that inner voice and how we speak to ourselves, because I think we can be our own harshest critic, and that can often stop us in our tracks and then create that doubt and that cycle, like, oh, goodness, I don't, you know, can I do it? And, you know, you do need that champion on the sideline, but you can champion yourself, and you have to learn to nurture yourself, I think, and speak to yourself more kindly. Because, you know, once you crack that, you know, the sky's the limit and you can really push yourself. And where is Pop Dance now, Sue? Because how many years has it been going? And just tell us a little bit about how successful it is now.
Well, it's been going for 13 years now. I'm like
13. Oh, my goodness. That's
years.
Flown.
It's mad. We're now in many countries across the world. We work.
That's incredible. It's like a global Pop Dance UK is now.
International.
Whereabouts? Which other countries is it in?
We're in the States, we're in Greece, we're in Cyprus, we're in Azerbaijan, we're in Ireland, you know, we're in all sorts of places.
That's amazing. So how do people find a Pop Dance school to do their steps routine and the other things? How would they find you?
Well, they can visit our website. Now, we don't have enough teachers to meet the demand.
Okay, so we'll do a shout out for teachers that want to have fun
absolutely.
And become part of Pop Dance.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have enough teachers. So we've got people that are coming to us wanting classes and there aren't any. We can do parties and workshops anywhere in the world, but classes are down to our teachers, and there's, you know, there's not enough out there. So a new thing that we're launching this year is our choreography, that dance schools can purchase our choreography and they can run it as part of their own dance school, or if they want to work under our brand, they can buy a license to use our brand. So where are we now? We're a long way since we first started. We launched toddlers, Pop Dance Tots, kids, seniors, we've launched Pop Dance Fit as well. So there's lots of brands in there. We work in schools, we work in clubs and societies, we work in parties, you know, we do hend.
Great idea for parties. That's a really original kids thing, because kids just love dancing and
absolutely.
Stuff. But yes, all ages do. I think we all need a lot more fun in our life. So I think.
Yeah. So we get booked for, you know, we get booked for wedding anniversaries. We get booked for wedding dances, hen parties and you know, birthday party, 50th birthday parties. Obviously, the kids parties are really popular.
Yes, now COVID's finished.
Yeah. Summer camps as well. So, and Halloween camps. So we teach Thriller and Monster Mash and stuff like that. Christmas camps.
Oh, that's so good.
So it's great fun.
So thank you. That's great. So if anybody wants to get in touch and apply for a pop dance work with you, how would they get in touch with you, Sue? What's the best way for them to reach you?
Come and visit our website, popdanceworld.com. Popdanceworld.com.
Lovely. I will put that in the show notes, and so people can click on that link and find you. Sue, thank you so much. I know I'm going to have you on for another episode about the business community. So we will meet again. But thank you so much today. And I hope all of our listeners have learned a lot about sort of a spotlight on the pop dance industry. Self-employment is just so rewarding for so many reasons. And, you know, Sue's highlighted some of the reasons why, you know, you can earn more and stress less. But it's going to be a great week for everybody. And thank you very much for listening. And we will catch up with you again very soon.
Thanks for listening to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. If you've enjoyed this week's episode, then do hit subscribe so we can catch up again soon. And please kindly leave a review if you've got a moment, and share with anyone else that you think this podcast could help on their self-employed journey. If you're ready to make bigger breakthroughs in your business life and want to get way more organised and understand your finances the really simple way, then start your very own 14-day free trial today using the super powerful software tool Pocket PA that I made for my own son and daughter. Go to pocketpa.com/podcast and let's get you on the way to earning more money and stressing much less. Have a great week, whatever you're doing.